This is the third morning service on June 9, 2019. It is Pentecost service. The message is delivered by Pastor Hon. The title is From Follower to Servant. The scripture passage is from Book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5.
Good morning. Let us turn to the scripture. Today we are going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, Jesus was eating with the apostles, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Day to remember that the Holy Spirit, God, came upon mankind. And around the world, the churches are celebrating this Pentecost. Have you ever had an experience to be touched by the Holy Spirit or to encounter the Holy Spirit? I recognized the presence of Holy Spirit for the first time 22 years ago when I was in the third year in the university. I was discouraged in my university life, and I escaped to San Diego, California for 1 year, and I joined an English Bible study led by the pastor for the foreign students. I thought that the study was good for me to learn English, and also a free meal was provided. We began with the Bible study, with the textbook, and it was led by a pastor. And he spoke about Jesus dying for mankind on the cross. Nothing particular impressed me during the study. After the study, the pastor prayed, and he said, we are filthy and unclean. That word really stuck in my mind, and I couldn't stop crying. Those who were there, I met them for the first time, and I was ashamed to be seen crying. But I couldn't stop crying. And the pastor came up to me, and he said, the Holy Spirit touched upon your soul. I had a similar experience when I was in university, he said. And at that moment, I understood and believed Jesus as my Savior. It was like a fog around me cleared up. And I had assurance that I found the truth. And next morning when I got up, I felt For the first time, the sunlight was so beautiful. I didn't like darkness, but I was no longer afraid of darkness. And I felt like reading the Bible. As you know, the Matthew's gospel starts with all the family trees. But I was enjoying even reading that family trees. So something happened in me, and something was changed. And I understood that Jesus is the Holy One, the Son of God, who created everything in this world. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 3 says, "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So this was my experience. Until then, I did not know who Jesus was or what he did. But by the Holy Spirit, I confessed. I was able to confess that Jesus is Lord. So it was a dramatic change in my life. And it was my first experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I became friends with some of those who were in the same Bible study. And we used to go to the church together. But he never became a Christian, and even to this day, he has not confessed his faith in Jesus. So if we think about it, that event was very dramatic in my life. But the story doesn't end there. Yes, I did confess my faith in Christ, but I had struggles in my heart. It was like this. Yes, I understood Jesus is God, and I was very glad to know the Trinity God and the fact that I was given the eternal life. But I could not think that I give away 100% of my life to God. And I didn't want to do that either. So I was going to live my life as a Christian, but not 100%. Maybe maximum 50%. Or if possible, I wanted to live my life more than 50% on my own. And if Jesus can make me happy, I thought I would like to continue to believe in Him. So I gave a condition to my faith. So I believed in Jesus Christ. I did not want to live like Jesus Christ. I intend to follow Jesus for the moment, but I wanted to live my life in a way I wanted to. So So I confessed my faith, but I did not want to live my life accordingly. This reminded me of Peter from the book of 16, verses 13 through 19. Peter declares that when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So Jesus asked the disciples what the people were saying about Jesus. And the disciples answered, "Oh, they're saying you like Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets," meaning that the great person. So they thought that Jesus was still a man. But Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is the right answer. So Peter was saying that Jesus was not a man, but a God, Messiah, who was promised in the Old Testament. In the verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." So Peter's confession, Jesus says, was not coming from Peter himself, Simon Peter himself, but from God, the Father in heaven. So this is in line with what was said in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Another passage we look at, Book of John, chapter 6, verses 66 through 69. "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Peter says, "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So this is another confession by Peter. But if we go back to verses, book of Matthew, chapter 16, and to believe and to know That's not beyond what it is. Book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 26. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" When Jesus began to tell the 12 that he would have to die, suffer and die on the cross, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. What did he say? "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." It sounds that Peter was thinking, considering about the Jesus well-being. But maybe we can look at another way. That he was saying to Jesus that if you are killed, what do we do? If you die, we cannot become happy. So Peter confessed that Jesus was the living God's Son, and he knew and believed that Jesus was the Holy One of God. But he did not want to live his life accordingly. And to Peter, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And he said in the following passage, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." So Peter was not following Jesus, but he took him aside and began to rebuke him. So Peter and the disciples were using Jesus for their benefits, but they were not thinking to be used by Jesus, for Jesus. They wished to have Jesus move around as they wished him to be. So it's almost like idol worship. They confessed their faith, and they knew Jesus, who Jesus was, and what he was. But they never thought they wanted to live like Jesus. And they tried to persuade him to do what they wanted to do, what they wanted him to do. But Jesus said, "Follow me." In Book of Mark, chapter 5, or several other passages, we read that even evil spirits confess that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. So what Peter knew and believed, was known by the evil spirit or Satan. So Peter's problem is that he had the right answer, but to confess his faith, but he did not want to live accordingly. For him, his life was his, and he wanted to live his life as he wanted. And if Jesus, if as long as Jesus is doing something for him, he wanted to follow Jesus. But as soon as Jesus is not doing what he wanted, he took him aside and began to rebuke him. Twelve disciples of Jesus spent almost 3 years with Jesus, and they watched what Jesus did. They listened to him, listened to God's word from him, and they watched Jesus walking on the water, or when Jesus healed many, and resurrection of Lazarus was witnessed by them, and they watched when Jesus fed 5,000 people, and they had the privilege of listening to Sermon on the Mount, and watched many miracles done by Jesus. They touched, listened, and experienced directly what Jesus did. And they even confessed that Jesus was the Holy One of God and the Son of God. But they did not want to live like Jesus. So they were very close to Jesus, the closest to Jesus. But they did not want to trust their lives in Jesus' hands. They did not want to follow Jesus. Although they saw the mark on Jesus' hands and the side, the spirit side, they did not want to live or follow Jesus. And finally, after the death of Jesus on the cross, they went back to their original job. So they believed in Jesus as the Holy One of God and the Son of God, and they knew it. But they did not want to put their lives in this confession. And Jesus spoke to them the words in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The disciples were baptized, received the baptism by John, who said that God's kingdom was near, and repent and believe in the good news. But they were not able to live their life according to what they have confessed. So their confessed faith and in their lifestyles were not matching. And what Jesus wanted to say here is that it is not man's capability or power to make a faith and the lifestyle match. So, Jesus distinguished between the baptism by water and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So if there is no baptism with the Holy Spirit, the baptism with water has no meaning. In fact, in the Bibles, those who are circumcised or baptized by water, they failed as a Christian, as believers. And the baptism by the Holy Spirit is needed, Jesus says. And this is promised by Jesus. The baptism with the Holy Spirit for Christians to be able to live as true Christians. The disciples were really in the bottom of their Christian life. And probably they needed to be broken in order to receive God's word with no doubt. And on the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit as promised. And if we can look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be a tongue of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So finally, the disciples received the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other languages And this passage is said to be the beginning of the world mission. But beyond that, what we should see is the change that took place in Peter's life. Verse 14 of chapter 2 in Book of Acts. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully what I say. Peter, who made a great confession that Jesus told him that on his confession, the church would be built. But he denied three times Jesus, and he hid himself. And he met Jesus after Jesus' resurrection. He still went back to his old job of fisherman. That Peter, who thought that his life was his, now raised his voice to speak the message of the Bible. The Peter, who hid himself, now came out and spoke to the crowd in Jerusalem. And this was the first time for Peter to see his confession and lifestyle became one. He was transformed to the one who lived upon his confession that Jesus is the living God and Christ. The Peter who took aside the Jesus to rebuke was transformed to the one who would like to live for Jesus, live like Jesus. Let's look at the 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." This is the word of Peter, who did take aside the Jesus to rebuke him. Nobody wants to see a fiery ordeal in their lives. But now he's saying that if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on him. And it is not our experience experience or capability or personalities, but by the glory of the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Or are you seeking to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? This is not my word, it's Jesus' word. I did not study in the seminary of charismatic group, or I don't intend to transform Tsuchiya Megumi Church to a charismatic or Pentecost denominations. But the Holy Spirit that was promised by Jesus, we'd like to wait upon and pray for it. The Holy Spirit is not just an idea or something that could not be understood. I would like the Holy Spirit, one of the Trinity, to come upon us so that we might encounter the Holy Spirit God and to have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit God. The Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, is not a momental thing. That's a misunderstanding. And the baptism with the Holy Spirit is just like Peter, that the word of the Bible becomes our own, and Jesus becomes the purpose of our life, and to understand that that's the happiness of our life throughout our life. So baptism with the Holy Spirit does not end just by the dramatic events or the emotional events. The Holy Spirit is involved in our life throughout our life. The story, my story, which I spoke in the beginning of my sermon, has some continuation. As I said, I had experience to confess Jesus as my Lord by the work of Holy Spirit. But still, I wanted to keep 50% of my life for my own. And one day I went to the youth camp. There, the Holy Spirit touched upon me. And in this Bible camp, the pastor suggested for us to experience the pouring of the anointment and feet washing, just like what is written in the Bible. And a pastor anointed each one of us one by one. And when he came to me, and I was praying as I was anointed, something strange happened to me. I was shaking, and I couldn't keep standing, and I fell. But I had a very clear conscience, and I realized that I was speaking a tongue. And I understood that the Holy Spirit came to me. And another, the fellow who was present there, who was watching what happened to me, said he saw Jesus walking in the room. So it was a very precious experience for me. And it was the baptism with the Holy Spirit for me. I was very stubborn, and probably God wanted to break my stubborn mind by coming to me very dramatically. And I could no longer say that the 50% of my life is mine and 50% is God's. But still, every day I struggle in my life with the temptation to keep 50% of my life for my own. But every day since that moment of baptism with the Holy Spirit, little by little, I experienced the Holy Spirit, His work in me. Do you wish to have the Holy Spirit? Was your confession of faith done by the Holy Spirit? I still look for the filling of the Holy Spirit in me. I wish to have the Holy Spirit working in me to correct my wrong thinking that when the things are going well, that's the blessing. That wrong thinking, I would like the Holy Spirit to correct. And I wish to have the help of the Holy Spirit to remove my fleshly thinking. And I wish to have the instruction of the Holy Spirit to examine myself, to repent. Have you received the Holy Spirit that was promised by Jesus? If you have, let us continue to pray that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have not, let us continue to pray for the baptism by the Holy Spirit might come. And let us work together, trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.